Hello.
Hello, Jimmy. It's John Frame here. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for giving us this time, because I know that you're busy man.
It's okay. Let's go. I'm not too busy this evening.
Beauty.
I knew I was doing these, so...
Okay, so it's a range of interviews.
I've just been doing my dishes.
Okay.
I'm serious, actually.
That's all right. Okay, well, Jimmy Somerville, welcome to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ in Brisbane.
Thank you.
It's good to hear that you're coming back to Australia.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's been a good few years, so it'll be fun to be down under again.
Because you have appeared at the Mardi Gras dance party at least once.
Yeah, I've done it once here, and then the last time I was there was for the opening of the Gay Games, so that was good fun. That was great. That was a great evening.
Of course, that featured Australian artists such as Paul Capsis as well. Of particular interest for this, it's a gala show. It's not Jimmy Somerville doing a 20-minute set.
No, you know, and it's almost like a kind of gay review. You know, it's like one of those kind of like various people on and stuff like that. And it's kind of fun. It's like, you know, it's got a kind of like a feeling of an old time kind of review show. So that's kind of. It's kind of good fun. I mean, I know it's called a gala, but I mean, I keep thinking it more of a kind of review, so which is kind of makes it a bit more kind of like it's kind of more like entertainment. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's going to be cool.
Okay, but the host will be Bob Down.
Yeah.
So are you a good friend of Mark?
I mean, I know him. I mean, I'm not a good friend, but I do know him. You know, so I mean, it's kind of like I would know him to feel comfortable, kind of in his company, and kind of like chat with him. You know, hang out with, so I would feel comfortable in that kind of respect. So yeah, no, he's cool.
Because for yourself, like you're one of, if not the most famous openly gay musician in the world. Bob Down could be one of the most famous gay characters, certainly within Australia, but he is well known in the UK.
Yeah, he is known here. He's like, you know, he's got a good following here. It's like, you know, I think he worked really hard on kind of like him getting himself kind of around here and getting known, so yeah, he's kind of known.
Yep. But I spoke with Mark a few years ago, and he said that he thought it was really strange that his character, Bob Down, it was assumed that the character was gay, but when he started to speak as a gay man himself, he found it really hard for people to take him seriously. He had to actually tell media, I am also a gay man.
Yeah. And I think that's the trouble, is if you do characters, and you do, especially if you do comedy, or if you do characters... I mean, a lot of the time, the media and the public do kind of, like, get confused with your character in real life. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, that's the best example for that is soap operas. You know, so many people just kind of, like, really believe in the characters of soap operas, and when they see these people in the street or in real life, they actually think that this person has kind of, like, you know, buried their grandmother in the patio or something, and it's like, no, I'm just acting in my character.
Well, in that respect, Jake Gyllenhaal from Brokeback Mountain, who plays Jack Twist, he said, I thought this is a fine statement, that while he hasn't ever found a man sexually attractive himself, he's not aware of it, he wouldn't be scared of that if it happened to be happening, if he found it happening.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that movie coming out. It's just definitely one movie that I will be looking forward to seeing. You know, 'cause I've read the book, and I think it's such a great story, and it's just so fantastic. I can't wait.
Yep. Do you think that it matters that it's got a straight director and two straight lead actors?
Not at all. I just think as long as it's well acted, and as long as they put their heart and soul into it, and they believe the characters that they're playing, and they believe in these characters, and they actually believe in what they're doing, then I think that's all that matters, really.
Absolutely.
You know, because in the end, it's like, if there was two kind of maybe gay actors, it would have been ideal for the part and could have played the part well, then fair enough. But if those guys weren't around, then you just work with the best, really, and you work with what you think is good, you know? And I just think that's fine by me.
Yep. Now, in terms of the persona that you present on stage, I heard an interview with Anthony Hegarty from Anthony and the Johnsons. And Anthony said that when he did his first big show in London, when the Johnsons became popular, he felt really very, very, very self-conscious, because here he was, this big gay character on stage, and he just didn't think that he knew that the audience trusted that he could be that and be accepted.
Yeah.
But you yourself, have you ever felt that you had to be anything less than all of who you are on stage?
I mean, if anything, it's like it's so difficult for me to present on stage, I suppose, who I am, because of just kind of, especially from the very beginning, and of how I've looked and my size and my kind of, especially in the very early days, my boyishness and my kind of, like, you know, boyish face and boyish kind of stature and stuff. It was very difficult for me to get over to people that, you know, I wasn't kind of like, you know, but under my T-shirt there was a pair of wings and I was some kind of little angel, you know. It was very difficult to put that across. It's almost as though people would kind of read things about me and then they would look at me and just say, yeah, but he probably doesn't do that, he's so sweet, that kind of thing, you know. So it's really difficult.
Yeah.
So if anything, I've just got the kind of opposite. I'm just trying always constantly to show people that, just, you know, I really am a whore. Like, I really am.
Most of your music is about love, but it deals with the realities of love, as in love found and lost and struggle. And
yeah.
Yet, I would imagine that you have a whole swag of songs that would be ideal if you were the guest vocalist at a gay civil union. Have you been asked to do this in the UK yet?
No, actually, I was just before you called, I was actually watching the news, because the first one was in Ireland yesterday, and then the first one was in Scotland today. And it's a kind of historical moment, and it's a great thing, but it's just kind of it's just, for me, it's a frustrating thing, because I really don't want to be aping heterosexuality. I don't want to be kind of like, I don't want gays and lesbians to be sort of saying, like, we should be allowed to get married as well, because I just don't think in the 21st century that marriage really should be something that we're trying to kind of like hold on to. It's like, in all with, as with heterosexuals and gays and lesbians, I just think we should be moving towards unions and partnerships, but it's like but just really getting away from marriage and the whole kind of like connection to the church and the state, etc. So that kind of thing, I just think, you know. And it was funny because I was speaking to kind of like, you know, two guys I know who've been together for like 20 years. And, you know, I said, well, you know, I love this guy. It's like, but that's between me and him. It's like, you know, I don't want to kind of like run around kind of like, you know, celebrating it. It's like in such a way, it's like, you know, that's between us. So I think people see, people have different kind of like opinions about it. And mine is very much that I kind of, I really don't want to be a... But the civil partnership rights is so important, you know, because it is a historic moment, and it is really important. It should be the same rights, and it should be the same recognition. You know, everything that you build together and have together should be automatically passed on to your partner, if that's how it's going to be. And if you enter into that partnership and it becomes legal and binding, that's really important. Mm-hmm. But just drop this kind of wedding nonsense. There we go.
In the liner notes for your most recent album, Home Again, which came out in November 2004, you make the little comment after thanking a few people on the back of the notes. You say, and thank God I'm an atheist. So
yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're not a spiritual person, though, does it?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of annoyed now that I put atheist, because in some senses that's me saying that I actually don't believe in something that kind of exists. So that kind of like... I was a bit annoyed actually for putting that, because I thought I should have kind of found some other expression. But in a sense, I'm not a spiritual person. I'm more of a kind of, because in a sense, it's like, again, it's like trying to find other words to express it and other meanings. And so in the end, I'm just a believer in people, and I'm just a believer in emotions, and I'm just such a believer in people that if someone was to kind of like, you know, bash me over the head, like, you know, and then come back and bash me over the head again, I would still believe that there is something good in that person, and that person is a good person deep down or whatever. So I really do believe in people. I just think if you stop believing, and if you stop having some kind of passion and compassion, then you just may as well give up.
Now, Mark Trevorrow, when I spoke to him earlier this year, he said that now that he's moving towards 50, I'm not saying that you're getting there, but
moving towards
50, Mark is.
Well, 50, yeah. I'm going to be 45 in June, so okay. I'm not far off.
But Mark said that he really feels that he's going through some sort of an evolution. He feels it happening. Are you still the same person you were when you were 16?
Oh, definitely not, you know, definitely not. You know, I'm not such an idealist as I was. I'm not such an idealist. And some senses, I know that I wasted so much energy, and so much of my energy went into being such an idealist when I was younger. So I don't waste my energy on that anymore. So, but I still put a lot of my energies into really just kind of, I suppose, just believing, really.
Yeah.
And just being positive, and just still having my kind of like my principles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, going back to potentially you at age 16, would you, for example, have been the sort of young man who would have been likely to have engaged in anal intercourse if that was on offer at age 16?
God, at age 16, I was kind of like, by the time I was like, by the time I was 15, I had realised at the bus station that if I actually sucked men off, I could get £5, which meant I could go and buy two albums. So, you know, by that time I was running a business, really. I was building my record collection at that point, so yeah, I was 16. You know, there was no tricks I didn't know at 16. That's for sure.
It's just that the first Bronski Beat album was Age of Consent, and in Queensland, we're the only state in Australia that has an age of consent that's higher for anal intercourse than for any other sexual activity. So it's 18 instead of 16 for everything else. Do you see any sense in that?
It's crazy, really, isn't it? I mean, it's just so. And you just know that in some senses that these kind of like these laws are really influenced by kind of like by religion and by kind of like, you know, and they are influenced in biblical terms. It's just that's really what I think where most of these laws come from. You know, it's the same in certain states in the United States as well. You know, that kind of thing. It's so influenced by it for biblical reasons, and it's just in the place in the 21st century, but. You know, that definitely is an uphill kind of battle, because those people, they're real believers, and they believe in what they believe in, and so you really do have a battle on your hands.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as videos go, like, there was a fine collection, I haven't seen the whole collection, but of Bronski Beat, Communards, Jimmy Somerville, early stuff, but Small Town Boy was a groundbreaking video. We saw a German-made series of documentaries on sex and pop, and in that you are talking, perhaps in response to Jake Shears from Scissor Sisters, saying what a great video that was, how significant it was.
Oh, definitely. I mean, because at that time, you know, bands, it's like, you know, pop bands, and it was in the 80s, so pop bands were making kind of very kind of pompous and overblown and very expensive pop videos, and it was all about kind of like affluence, and you know, the 80s was a time of kind of like, you know, like, just being kind of, being a bit kind of, flash, really. You know, everything was really over the top. And we just, and in the end, it's like, you know, the story, it's like the song, it couldn't be anything else but a narrative, and it had to tell a story. And in some senses, it was great because it turned out to be such a universal kind of story in the video also. You know, because in some senses, there is a part, you know, in the swimming pool where, I'm looking at the guy because I'm just so kind of like, you know, just such a kind of like, so I mean, it's like I could be cruising him, but I just could also just be like idolizing him, that kind of thing. So it could be taken whichever way, but in some sense it was just so obviously gay because we were open, because we were openly gay. Yeah. But I think the success of the song and the video was because it was just so kind of universal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, of course, there have been a number of excellent videos for your own solo work in recent years. Is there a chance that they will ever get made available to the public?
I'm not really sure. It's really difficult. Because there's one video that was made by this guy called Bart Fisher, and he was studying in California at Los Angeles, at University of Los Angeles, and he was doing film studies. And he was the first one to use a pop video for his final his final film. And he done a video of a song that was on and one of the albums called Here I Am. And he done a great video, and it's a really, really great video. It's very kind of like, it's a very passionate video. It's really cool, and it was great. And he won an award for it recently too. So that was kind of cool.
put the word upon my lips, the lyric of my beating heart, and let me sing among the dancing stars. Here tonight you take me high, much higher than a future dares. I like the way you feel so good so far. Kiss me till I burn again, wrap your love around this man, spreading like a joyous multitude. Standing on the edge of heaven, down my soul if I don't fall right down until I synthesize with you.
Your most recent album, Home Again, when I listened through to it, I thought, well, for me immediately, I thought It's So Good was a standout song. I just loved the way it sounded, the whole feel of it. But it was great to see then that Paul Mack was the co-writer, producer.
Yeah. That was fun. That was fun. We spent a few days in Sydney just hanging out, and it was really cool, and, you know, just kind of like writing this track. It was really great. It was good fun.
Mm-hmm. Are you happy with this whole album? Because the previous one, you even had trouble getting this one of the singles played on radio.
Oh, but this album, it's just been a nightmare. It's like BMG Germany kind of picked it up, and the single didn't do as well, and so, you know, that usual record company thing, they just kind of like dropped it, and just so that was it. So there was no more kind of work going to be done on it. There wasn't going to be any more promotion on it. So, and essentially, the album is just kind of like that was just disappeared. Really, it's just died. So, But you have to take these things with a pinch of salt, really, because there's just nothing you can do. You know, it's like one person up against like a major label, it's like, forget it, you know, so you just have to pick yourself up and dust yourself down, so to speak.
But can you make a living then by word of mouth, by having a strong personal fan base?
Um, kind of, but the great thing is, I mean, I just kind of, I do a lot of work in Germany and Europe and do lots of kind of club stuff, but also lots of festivals, and in the summer, lots of radio festivals over Europe. And it's great, it's because of people book it. I mean, I've been doing it, I've been relying on that, for that's my, been my income for about the last 10 or 12 years, and it's incredible because people... The promoters kind of originally booked us, and of course, just thinking, well, this is just going to be Jimmy Somerville, a bit of retro stuff. But then suddenly they realise, when they hear me singing live, it's like, of course, it's like, you know, this man has grown, his voice has grown. Mm. And so then they kind of book us again for the next one. And I've just done all the radio shows kind of like in Germany and some in kind of Italy just like this year. And already, I mean, most of the festivals have asked us back next year, so it's kind of cool. Mm. I'm very lucky in that respect, you know, because a lot of my contemporaries just have just disappeared and really have nothing to rely on, in a sense. So I've been really lucky in that respect.
It's people giving back what you've given them in the past, though. Like, the producer of these shows in Sydney and Melbourne in February and March next year, Colin Tate, he writes that Jimmy gave his music to me as a lone country boy, and it was a way of accepting my own sexuality. So it's great then that he can help produce a spectacular show that gives you the featuring that you have always deserved.
It's great. I mean, it's like, and just kind of like, just I think how it's going to run, and just be singing with the choir, and you know, and also the fact that, you know, organising a little kind of like acoustic band for me, you know, so there's going to be like about 35 minutes, 40 minutes of kind of, I think about 35 minutes of just short acoustic songs. Some songs which are from the albums, like For a Friend and By Your Side, and also Selfish Days from Home Again, and then also I'm going to do a few kind of like old favourites, you know, things like, you know, This Guy's in Love with You, and I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, those kind of things. So old kind of standards that are usually always sung by women. So, you know, by singing them and me singing them, it just kind of turns the whole element of the love song around. So I'm really looking forward to that, and it's just great that it's going to be with a kind of an acoustic set, really. So
Now, just a final question. Since the last time I spoke to you, which was February 98, we've had people like Elton John's properly come out to the world, like George Michael sort of got exposed to the world, but more importantly, we've had some young men from boy bands come out and actually preempt the press and say that I'm gay, I'm happy, and in fact I'm in love.
Sadly, most of the young ones from the boy bands didn't really preempt the press. Basically, what had to happen was the press was saying, well, you know what, if you don't do it, we'll do it. So how do you want to do it? Do you want to do it and come out and be proud? Or do you want us to just kind of like put one of those kind of like mucky stories in the paper? So in some senses, they had to do it. And in some senses, I kind of, the journalists and the press, by doing that, I just think it's a kind of really... It's a kind of almost like a kind of twisted kind of politics in there. It's almost like sort of saying, well, do you know what? You just don't play these games with the public. You either are or you're not. Get on with it. And I kind of like that in a kind of twisted way. Because in the end, it is. It's like, you know, just don't play games with the public. You know, it's like, they couldn't give a fuck, just as long as you're kind of like possibly entertaining them and you're good at what you do. Then, you know, they'll just let you go on with it, really. And I just think, you know, and in the end, it's like, it's to yourself as well, because you just mess with your own mind, and you just end up just being a very fucked up and kind of unhappy person. Hmm. And you may still be a fucked up and unhappy person when you came out, but at least it's like, you know you've got the option, and you know maybe what the difference will be.
Absolutely. Jimmy Somerville, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And this has been John Frame on behalf of Queer Radio on 4ZZZ in Brisbane. Now, you have a safe trip and a great tour. We'll look forward to seeing you.
I shall do. Thank you very much.
So that's all okay with you, Jimmy?
Cool. Yeah, okay. Great.
Now, and once again, thanks for all your time today.
No
have
problem.
Have a great day.
Bye. Cool. Well, actually, it's 10:30 in the evening for me now, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have a cup of tea in bed.
And a nice lie down.
Okay, well, have a nice day.
Sweet dreams. Bye-bye.
hurricanes, baby.
There ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no river wide
Somerville, and you're listening to 4ZZZ, and this is Queer Radio.
Queer.
It is 4ZZZ, FM 102.1.